verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. I wonder if there was some, if that was a pun, if you know anything about bread and proving. I think God has a sense of humor. To prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now if we could just kind of pull up a chair to the story. You can see the miracle and everything that had happened, and you see all the gathering of people that were there. And afterwards, they cleaned up. Jesus had the apostles go out and clean up. The 12 of the apostles went out, and how much did they get? How much did they gather up? 12 baskets. Each apostle had 1 basket. How many of them were there? How many of them were left? Including Jesus, 13. So you have each of the apostles, each one of them had a basket of bread, something that through God's provision, his blessing, had provided for them in their lives. But here, Jesus had nothing, and they had everything that was left, everything. I wonder in our lives, and maybe in your life, what has God given to you? This is nothing new that I'm going to talk about tonight. 3 quick things that we've heard many, many times. You know what the first thing he's given us? He's given us time. He's given us time. Today kind of, moved our clocks. We lost an hour. But, just take that time. Maybe it was a little different from you. Maybe, with young kids and that, they wake up at a certain time. Maybe it didn't affect you at all. You're like, hey, I'm fine. I usually get up, no problem. But, our time. So everything that we have, really everything, your wage, everything you can look around can be boiled down into time. How much did it cost? How many hours of work did it take for you to get your car? That's time. Time. That's all God has given us. How are we spending our time? You can find a lot about somebody by looking at their calendar and looking at their checkbook. You look at those two things. What do they spend their money on? What do they spend their time on? What's of value to them? So our time, let's be so important. What a gift God has given us, and you can never get it back. You can't get it back. Our time and our talent. Our talent. How God has blessed us. I love seeing these young people up here playing. I love listening to them. I love it. There's so many things. We'll have a special here in a little bit. And just listening to these young voices sing. What has God blessed you with? What has he provided for you that he's like, hey, I can't do this. I can't sing. I can't play. But, I'm pretty good at just striking up a conversation with the person next to me in the grocery store. I can talk to them. I don't have any problem with that. Hey, let God use you with that. Let him take part in your life, and don't stop that. Don't quench the Holy Spirit when he impresses on you, hey, you need to talk to that one. It's your time, your talent, and then your treasure. Boy, our treasure, boy, maybe you struggle today with Give It All Sunday. Maybe things are tight. Maybe, boy, I really wanted to do this, and we have this need, and we have this debt. The financial stress, was it 87% of problems in marriages are rooted in trouble with finance? Just the oppression that finance can put on you, our treasure. But if when we give it to him, what can he do with it that we can be so selfish with? And, you just spend it on your cares and your wants and your coffee you think about how expensive that is. And every day, every other day, if you just put that away and you just hit it in a little pocket, and then at the end of the month, end of the year, you pull that out, you'd be like, whoa, you would be shocked at how much you spent on that. So just 3 quick things: our time, our talent, and our treasure. How are we spending that? Are we honoring and glorifying to God? Are we like those apostles? Maybe in the next morning, they all had their basket. Which one of them gave to Jesus, gave back to the need that they saw when he was hungry and they had something? Let's be ones that are giving and are just willing to go with his need and what he gives us so freely, and how he has blessed us over abundantly than we could ever ask or think.
Exodus 33, if you're able to, as you find it, stand. We'll read it together. We'll not necessarily read it together. You follow along as I read. How's that? If you're able to. Don't lock your knees. All right. Cuts off blood supply and then you pass out. That's the last thing we need. All right. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. Exodus 33, 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand, and I will pass by. Verse 23. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here tonight, and Lord, I pray that as we examine this passage a little bit, and Lord, that we'd be encouraged by what it is that you've done for us, and what it is that you are, and who it is that you are, and Lord, how dependent and needy we are. And Lord, we don't want to be in any place that you're not. Lord, I pray you lead us and guide us even tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Exodus chapter 33, we see this very unique circumstance in Moses and talking to the Lord, but almost like they're having a conversation. And God almost says, you know, I'm going to do this just because you asked. Interesting the way Moses had with the Lord almost. There's other passages where Moses stands in behalf of Israel and says, hold off your wrath a little bit. And he does. He listens to Moses. But the verse I want to draw your attention to in this whole passage, there's so much good in it, but I want us to look at verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Hey, tonight, I want to take a moment and simply draw attention to the goodness of God in our life.
A lot of times the goodness of God gets a misnomer, it gets mislabeled, and we feel like God is good as long as I'm healthy, or God is good as long as I'm financially above board, or God is good as long as the vehicles are running, or as long as the children are in church. No, God is good no matter what. And we have to stop putting these contingencies on the goodness of God. Because it limits God. It takes God and it puts Him into a parameter set by me. No, I live in parameters set by Him. And the fact is that He is always good. Whether I do right by it or not, whether I acknowledge it or not. And we have seen the goodness of God pass by our way. He's been good to us. Completely unworthily. I don't deserve to see the goodness of God. But I've seen it. I've seen it pass by. I've participated in it. And just a page later, Exodus 34, look at verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6 says this, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering,'" and look, "'and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Grandpa Haight, you're abundant in Tic Tacs. Well, you were this morning, I saw it. What does that mean? You had a plethora, you had a large quantity of Tic Tacs. God has a large quantity, an abundance, an overwhelming number of goodness. And He shows it to us each and every day. And so many times we look out and we look in our life and we scan our life, we take inventory. Maybe tomorrow morning you'll wake up a little bit early because the clocks are different, or maybe you'll sleep in a little late. I don't know, whatever it is. And maybe you'll be sitting at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee in hand, thanking God. Not for the coffee, but just for who He is. Just for who He is. And as you scan your life, you look at it and go, you know, this didn't turn out the way I had planned, but you cannot deny the fact that God is good. He is good. He's abundantly good. That's His very character. Turn over to Psalm chapter 8. Because it's worth considering. What do you think about? What is it that goes through your head? What do you find yourself thinking about and meditating on? You got projects that you're planning, maybe? I know the Martinez are getting ready to move. Thinking about packing, thinking about boxes. Brother Smith's thinking about, oh, I gotta get that off the wall. I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta get all this ready. And right now in your life, that's what you're thinking about. If you have kids in school, you're thinking about, do they have tests, do they not have tests? At work, when is, Brother Jabisky is kind of heading up some stuff at work, and he's got quotas and deadlines to make, and thinking about those things. Even when you're not there, you're thinking about those things. What does God think about? Well, God knows everything. He doesn't need to think. You know what He thinks about? He thinks about you and me. Say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Psalms 8:4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know what goes through God's mind? You. Your circumstance, your life. What He's doing with you. Say, how does He keep track of 7.7 billion people? He's God. He can do things like that. I have a hard time keeping track of my 5 kids. Brother Manchera, he asked me tonight. He's like, how many kids do you have? 5. What are their ages? 15 to 7. I think. What goes through God's mind? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why is He thinking about me? The son of man that thou visitest him. Why does He even give any sort of consideration to me? Why does he care what I think? Why does he care what I feel? Why does he care what I want or desire? Why does he care about my life? Why does he even care to try and guide and direct me? You know how many times he's tried to point me in a direction and I've gone that way and I'm supposed to be going this way and he's got to take me and pull me back over here and then I wander back over here and he's got to take me. When does he just say, enough is enough? I'm tired of you. You're a pain. You're a nuisance. But he doesn't, does he? He considers us. I wonder what he would like. Man, I know his heart's desire. I'm going to give him that. Why? Why is that? Because he's good. Because he's good. He considers you and I. That alone is an example of his goodness. Not only does he consider us, look at just a few chapters later in Psalm 25. But he takes the time to teach us. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. We have a school here. Partially because, well, to be honest, parents don't want to teach their kids. So they'll send them to an institution. Institution sounds awful. A joyous place of education. How's that? And you send them here. Why? How have you tried? Anybody try homeschooling? Sure. How many of you are thankful for a Christian school even though you're trying to homeschool? Okay, great. Okay, excellent. And there's some great success stories. I'm saying that teaching is work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience. What do you mean you don't understand that? It's right there. I don't understand. The answer is not right here. And you know what? That's how God deals with us. He is good, and therefore he will teach sinners in the way. He's good to us, and he teaches us things. And sometimes we don't learn easy. Sometimes those lessons are tough lessons. But he's good to not give up on us. Some of your kids struggle. I'll be straightforward. Some of your kids struggle in math. It just doesn't make sense to them. Some of them struggle in English. Some of them struggle in both. Some struggle in Spanish. And sometimes as a teacher, it gets frustrating. Why? Because you can only explain it so many times. How about God with us? How many more times does he have to explain it to us? And yet he is. And yet he does. He's patient. And he teaches us over and over and over again. The fact that he even considers us, but then not only does he consider what we like or what we would desire, but that he would implement himself into my life to teach me a lesson. God's good. For my betterment. He's not teaching me how to change a spare tire or the oil or how to solve a math problem. Quite honestly, what he teaches me is how to please him. He's written it all down, but he's even included instruction lessons daily in my life. To which I can say, he is good to do that. His goodness is abundant. His goodness towards us is his consideration of us, but that he would teach us. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Go back a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. In verse 13, 2 Chronicles 5 and in verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. Sounded like tonight. The trumpeters. We'll remove the S. It came to pass as the trumpeter and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard and praising and thanking the Lord. Hey, think about the songs that we sang tonight. Think about those songs. Hey, I'm having a hard time. We sang Constantly Abiding. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Did we sing about praising and thanking the Lord? Yes, we did. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals, look at that. Isn't that awesome? And instruments of music, what is that? That's the violins. And praise the Lord, saying, for he is good. for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Hey, when we get together and we worship together and sing praises to God about his goodness, know what it says? He comes down and meets with us. Why? He likes that.
Yes, sir.
He likes it. He's pleased by it all. He wants it. He wants us to tell him how good he is. Some people get shy. We've talked about this before, but you go to a job interview and they ask you, what are your strengths? Oh, I hate those questions, right? I don't know. I wake up on time. I work hard. I'm a team player, blah, blah, blah. No one likes talking about themselves. Well, there's some people that do, but most people don't. It's embarrassing. Number one, because we know ourselves. I can tell you what you want to hear, but the truth of the matter is sometimes I'm a little lazy. Not God. There's nothing good that you could say about God that isn't true. And he likes that. And he's pleased by it and he wants it. Why? Because he is good. And because of his goodness, he desires our worship. His goodness is abundant. His goodness is considering us, that he would teach us, that we could worship him. Look, go back to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Hey, to see the goodness of God, it might take a little bit of faith. You might have to put yourself out there a little bit, but you'll taste and see something that is unmatched by anything else. The goodness of God. And when God meets with you and he satisfies you in that way, that encourages our faith. That strengthens our faith. Makes me want to do it again. There's places all throughout town. I'm gonna hurt you a little bit here tonight. There's places all throughout town that I like to go and eat. Because I've tasted how good it is. And I go back there because it's good. Hey, the Lord is good, and I've tasted that. Hey, go back to that. Go back there. Get another taste of that. But it's going to require some faith. Taste and see. Look at Psalm 33 in verse 5. Tonight's message is simply drawing attention to how good God is. And God's goodness is based in his character, not mine. Oh, God's good because Nick's good. No, not at all. God's good because God's good. Psalm 33 and verse 5, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And look around you. Seasons and flowers and birds and animals and sunrises and sunsets and rainbows and rain even and snow and all of it together. All just working perfectly. Walks through fields and you look at the earth and go, God is good. I look out and I just feel like it's a gift. Some nights, some summer nights, we open up these windows a little bit and you see the orange and the purple out there. Man, what is that? That's the art gallery. I just go, God is good. He didn't have to do that. He could have made the sky all one color. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make light hit water in such a way that it refracts and breaks up into the color spectrum to remind us that he'll never destroy the earth again with water. He didn't have to do that. Him just saying, I'll never destroy the earth in water, would have been good enough. because he's never gone back on a promise. But yet, he shows us over and over and over again, God's good. God's good. And I can look out on his creation and the things that he created and recognize how good he is. Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. Pastor, I've been in a dry spell. I haven't seen the goodness of God. If you say more than a day, you're missing it. Because he says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. And if you can go 3 or 4 days, weeks, months, years, and say, I've not seen the goodness of God, then you're not looking for it. Because it's been there, because he says, daily he loadeth us. Back the truck up, beep, beep, he's filling it. Say, oh no, my life's a miserable wreck. Then you're not seeing the goodness of God. Because daily, he brings it by. Daily. Let's go forward a little bit. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good. And here we see the explanation of his goodness. And ready to forgive. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Remember when we were talking about just a few moments ago about God's goodness and taking the time to teach us lessons? Hey, I know I'm supposed to be here, but I'm actually way down here. And the fact that he takes the time to teach me, but also is so merciful that he would allow me to get back, and so forgiving, God is good. Anybody ever wander on the things of God? Ever, even to the point that you would say, I was backslidden. Anybody? Sure. What happened when you wanted to make right with God? What do you say? Sorry, I don't have time for that now. You've wandered. You've left me. Never. God's so good that he is willing to take us back every time. That he is quick to forgive. That's the goodness of God. That when I wandered out on my own doing, and then he went off after me to bring me back, that he would even allow me to come back. Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5 says, For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's good to be able to say, the things that God has taught me, I can pass down to the next generation. The goodness of God passes from generation to generation. And it works. And it works. Last week we talked about the flesh versus the spirit. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is there to help lead us through the battle? We'll look at two more verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and 37. Romans 8 and verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How did I get the victory? It says this, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How did I win? Was it my doing? No. How did the Spirit defeat the flesh today? Because I called out to God and he helped me. And how's he going to do it again tomorrow? Because I called out to him and he helped me. Any victory I have spiritually is not because of my great wisdom or ability or understanding of the scriptures. It's because God has made me a conqueror through him. The victory is through Christ. To which I say, He's good. He's good. Matthew chapter 7, last verse. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verse 11. Matthew 7 and verse 11. Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, isn't that something? How the Lord defines us? If you, being evil, God, I'm good. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that deserve it?" No. What does it say? "To them that ask Him." To which brings us back to Exodus chapter 33. "Lord, I would like to go here." "All right, go ahead. But I don't want to go unless your presence is there." "No, I'll be with you. Can you show me your glory?" "I'm sure I'll show you some of it." God's good. Because He hears our prayers. And He listens to us. And He considers us. That's why days like today are so special. Because we stop our flesh for a moment and say, the things of God are most important. I'm going to try and be more spiritual today. And maybe you have a communion or a conversation that you wouldn't normally have had otherwise. And He showed Himself good again. And there you were standing there, and the goodness of God passed right by in front of you, and you got a chance to see it. Our lives should be a testimony in showing the goodness of God to this world. I contemplated looking at some verses tonight about prayer and fasting, but I just felt led about the goodness of God. Hey, our life ought to shout that God is good. Again, not because we don't use wheelchairs, and not because we don't get flat tires, and not because we have all this money in our 401k. But because we acknowledge God and His character for who He is, and we are vocal about Him. Not taking any glory away from Him. "Hey, let me tell you about the great things I did at church this week." No. Let me tell you about the great things God did. Passed right by our way. Came right down the midst of us. Met with me right at my house. He's good. He's good to me. And where other people this past weekend, Friday night, went up to the VFW here in Hamlin and got some to-go fish fries. Man, great fish fries. If you like fish fries, sorry, I shouldn't be bringing up fish fries tonight. You can almost taste them. But there at the bar, people are drinking their life away. Some of you sat at that very place. Having never tasted the goodness of God. And wouldn't it be a shame if those people worked with Christians that just didn't tell everybody about how good God was, but instead tried to rob God of His glory and make themselves look good? Now let's be careful that we give testimony to the goodness of God in our lives. So let's all stand. Church, I love you. I was talking to Brother Rice a little bit before service. It's good to do this together. Maybe the next Sunday one, we make a cronies run after. How's that? Is that after? Is that not good? Good? All right, very good. We could do that, right? And I don't know what the Lord talked to you about today. But I highly recommend whatever it is that he spoke to your heart about, you do that. Because he's good. And he's not trying to lead you astray. He wants to help you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, may our desires be your desires. And God, that your presence would be with us. Lord, forgive us for wandering. Forgive us for doubting your goodness. Lord, we do love you. We are so thankful for salvation. We're so thankful that you take the time that you would even consider us. Lord, thank you for your abundant goodness. Lord, watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. Keep us safe. Lord, may we have a nice evening with our family. God, may we think about you. Reflect on how good you've been to us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.